And Kathy Dawes again, along with Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins. And I know 100th anniversary, boy, it's almost here.
Absolutely. 1st Infantry Division is gearing up. It's the month of August. And I'll tell you, they have many events going on at Fort Riley, Kansas. It's about a two-week period. And I know they'll be glad when all that kind of rolls to a stop. But there's a great deal of excitement among our veterans. And I had the distinct honor of going to the reunion, 100th reunion of the Society in Kansas City. And we were able to bring several busloads to Fort Riley, Kansas to visit the community and to visit the post.
And you have a history at Fort Riley. Sometimes we neglect to remind people of that. I mean, in your position as executive director of the Governor's Military Council, but you have a history there too.
Sure. I was the commanding general of the 1st Infantry Division, 2008-2009. One of the best times of my life. And a big part of what brought me back here to Kansas. You know, a lot of people ask me why I came back to Kansas, and I tell them it's the people. And it's been an incredible 34-year journey in the military, but I'm glad to be back here where I can relax. And I will tell you, it reinforced that decision I made when we had the veterans roll off the bus here, and they got to drive through the communities and visit and see the post, some of them serving in Vietnam, who it's changed a lot here. And it was noticed by them, and they really appreciated the relationship that this community has with that post. And that was discussed at length. And I will tell you, that doesn't happen by happenstance or by accident. That happens because a community generally over years has a love for the soldier and the folks that wear uniforms. And they commented on that a bunch. Because in Vietnam, we didn't necessarily do it well for our veterans. So on the 23rd of August, for example, we're going to have a welcome home ceremony, not only for the CAB, the Combat Aviation Brigade elements, but also for our Vietnam veterans. And that's going to be at Marshall Army Airfield at 3 o'clock. And I invite all of those Vietnam veterans and family members, reach out to those veterans because they're humble. But we need to recognize their service. We need to recognize what they did for this nation. And I think Fort Riley is going to do that on the 23rd in a big way. And I really look forward to being at that ceremony.
Oh, most definitely. Now, how with your new role, do you ever just kind of sit back and go, you know, whoa? Because I know you were so involved, of course, with the military earlier in your career. But you say you're relaxing now. Now, I know you have a lot of posts that you're sort of in charge in as Governor's Military Council Executive Director. So I'm sure you get around the state quite a bit and maybe the occasional trip to Washington, D.C. and that kind of thing.
Sure. But, you know, for me, staying connected with the military is a joy. It's been my passion, and so any part I have in being able to serve the veterans or serve the soldiers or airmen or Coast Guards persons or Marines or even the Navy here in the state of Kansas, it's a joy to do. So for me, it's not really work. It's just something that you do, and it's an extension of what I did in uniform. Now I'm doing it outside of uniform. So, you know, anytime I can work here in the state of Kansas to improve, increase the force structure, work on the quality of life for our servicemen and women and their families, that's okay with me.
I know we recently, you know, of course, hearing about the National Defense Authorization Act, people are still keeping a very close eye on that. I imagine you are in your role, too, and just your latest take on that and what it really means.
Well, we're fortunate here, as I've said in the past, to have some great legislators that work hard and paddle hard for the state of Kansas. And so we've adjusted and introduced some language into that document that will serve not only Fort Riley in terms of the military value analysis, which is a metric used by the Department of the Army to determine the value of an installation to the Army. We put some language in there to increase the usable acres at Fort Riley. That increases that metric. We've also introduced some language that identifies and specifically details the deployability timelines that will advantage Fort Riley as well. And we're going to continue to push. There's been some great language put in there that supports our veterans. And so it is a very important document. It's one that we keep a close watch on, as you said, and we're going to continue to do so.
I know the deployability timelines has always been a little bit of an issue with Fort Riley, but we've talked at length with the rail lines and lots of different ways that they're able to deploy very rapidly, really.
Yeah, we're trying to break the paradigm of when you look at Kansas in today's modern technological world, being in central Kansas doesn't put you at a disadvantage. As a matter of fact, we can get out of here via rail lines because we have a main line coming right out of Fort Riley to the port before the boats get there. And so we're trying to break the paradigm in the minds of those that take a look at that particular issue in Washington, D.C., and educate them on we've got some pretty good aerial ports of debarkation. We got some great railways, and we got some great interstate. You know, having President Eisenhower from Kansas and putting I-70 and I-35 and those major nodes here in the state really works to our advantage.
Now, I know when we talk about the National Defense Authorization Act, what does that mean for that dreaded acronym BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure? I mean, does it apply there, or what's that looking like?
Oh, it absolutely does. Those words that we try to place in that document help protect you from those particular issues like BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure. You know, BRAC right now literally is like a roller coaster. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off. I know that people read the papers and they know that the administration and President Trump is trying to introduce a BRAC in 19. Right now, there's a bunch of congressmen that are pushing back on that particular issue. And I think as it stands right now, I don't think that we are going to have BRAC language in the National Defense Authorization Act.
I was going to ask how much the administration, do they have that much of a role when it comes to some of these matters? Or?
Well, they try to introduce and they recommend, yeah. You know, the executive powers always have, and that coupled with the service chiefs asking for a BRAC really gives it some push. But we have legislators that understand that from the last BRAC, we really haven't identified what those cost of savings and efficiencies, how did they really weigh out by doing some of those things. And long term, I think that's something that congressmen are asking for. We had a BRAC. Have we done an assessment? Looking toward a future BRAC in a time where sequestration is hopefully going away and we're starting to increase our force structure among our services, is it wise to decrease our installations at a time where we're in a period of uncertainty? And I look back at it sort of mixed emotions. I understand that installations and infrastructure that you don't need impacts on readiness because it takes away dollars. But at the same time, in a time and period of uncertainty, I'm not really sure if we want to necessarily reduce some of the infrastructure that we have here until we finally know what the Army and the Navy and the Air Force and Marines are going to look like.
Well, I mean, even during the Obama administration, there was talk of cutting back the troops. And, you know, so you're never quite sure where it's going to lead.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're now at least reversing sequestration. We were heading toward a glide path of 420,000. We've stopped that, reversed that, and we're going north. And I think at about 478,000. So that's on the Army side. And I think that's important for people to understand is we've reversed the flow, and at least we're starting to grow. And I think over the next couple years, we'll have an understanding of just where that's going to end up.
Not to put you on the spot too locally, numbers. You know, you hear a lot of numbers floating around out there. And, of course, the troops are coming back. I think we're almost at full force. I think someone said at one of the intergovernmental meetings I went to recently. But how many are we talking about right now at Fort Riley are we looking at, or?
Well,
if you happen to know.
I mean, that have returned in total.
I know it's a fluid number. I mean,
sure,
you have
sure.
Some groups come, some go,
well,
so it's always,
you know,
kind of fluid.
We tend to focus primarily on the division. You know, those divisional troops are the ones that have returned.
Mm-hmm.
But I think somewhere around, you know, at Fort Riley itself, somewhere in the neighborhood, when you take a look at all the folks that work out there and all the other things, about 31,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And, of course, family members and that kind of
civilians,
thing. When they, sometimes
everybody.
They stay, sometimes they don't. But
that's
yeah.
exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that ebbs and flows. And we're trying to build additional force structure at Fort Riley in the form of a armored brigade combat team. So we're always looking for opportunities to try to increase the force structure at Fort Riley. We think we got a great place to train. We got a great place – to live. And as long as we continue to improve that quality of life for our soldiers and increase the training opportunities there, we see it as a great opportunity for the Army to continue to increase those forces at Fort Riley.
I know we always focus on Fort Riley just because it's right here. It is our home domain. But other posts around the state doing well, or anything else you're wanting to share today?
Sure. You know, we got Fort Leavenworth, and about this time of year, you got the new students all rolling back in. So they had a period of or a gap of time where the instructors there got to take an operational pause and a big break and enjoy their families. And now you've got students coming in from all over the nation, descending on Fort Riley for the best year, or Fort Leavenworth for the best year of their life. And so it's busy. You've got McConnell Air Force Base, who is still prepping, doing a lot of construction at McConnell in preparation for the KC-46s. You got Forbes Field and the National Guard there that are high operational tempo with regards to their refuelers, constantly moving in and out of theater. So there's a lot of moving pieces and parts here in Kansas. And the military is working very hard for this nation and standing on point.
Well, again, we're about out of time. I do appreciate you stopping by today. And we've had with us Governor's Military Council Executive Director Perry Wiggins. You've been listening to In Focus.
All right, Kathy, thank you much. Good show today with General Wiggins and also Marty Veneer. Coming up on K-Man's In Focus tomorrow, make sure you join us at 9:06 for the program.